You're listening to That Park Life podcast.
From attraction deep dives
to resort rundowns
to cast member chats,
they're here to help you live that park life.
Here they are now,
Beth and Greg.
Almost there, people gonna come from everywhere, and I'm almost there.
We have some fun announcements today, y'all.
Yeah,
and I'm super excited about it. If you can't tell, welcome back to That Park Life podcast. I'm your co-host Beth, hanging out here with my boy Greg. I'm old Greg. Also, can we talk about how I keep sending you these things, but people have, like, the old Greg stuff is, like, coming back out where people are, like, making crafts and stuff. I feel like I've sent you a couple things on Instagram, but, like, yeah. If you go to Etsy and type in old Greg, I think, like, things are popping up. I'm like, I don't know, it's trying to resurface. I'm old Greg.
I promise everyone this was not a planted conversation on Beth's behalf just to get me to talk about that other podcast that I'm on. But incidentally, the episode that's out this week, we are also talking about old Greg.
Because
that is
Stop
the name
it.
Of Erin's car. That's before she knew me. So I feel like I just keep getting surrounded by old Greg
funny.
Comments.
I'm old Greg. You see my downstairs mix up? I don't know. Just some of the stuff people are making, I'm like, this is just weird. But anyways, welcome back to another episode. We've got some fun stuff we're going to chat about today. We're doing some Animal Kingdom ride cues.
Ooh.
I'm hot just thinking about it. Good
oh
times. But we're going to talk about it. But anyways, you got some stuff on your list. What you got?
Yeah, I thought we could flip the order of some things. Let's keep it fresh today. Starting with a shout out to Mouselet1, who got married over the weekend. Hopefully you were all tagging along there with their stories and stuff on Instagram, because it looked like a fun time.
Everybody looked incredible. Everybody was gorgeous. The video that Michael posted of her walking down the aisle was like, she's crying, her mom's crying, her dad looks like he's trying to keep it together. It just looked like a very sweet, intimate gathering. So super excited for them. And I think I don't know where they're honeymooning or whatever, but she's still posting. I'm like, girl, no, like, we don't need to hear from you. It's like your honeymoon time. Like, put the phone down. But yeah, super excited
lots
for them.
Of
They've
stuff.
Got like the Mouselets. They have lots going on this year. This is a big year from them. Mouselet 2 like bought a house. Mouselet 3 is getting married. All the things. They like keep adding Mouselets.
The Mouselets keep growing.
Yeah, head over there and follow along with them, y'all. It's good stuff. All right.
It's always that last oh boy that gets me.
It is. Oh boy.
I think you have
Tell
the most
what you got, Greg.
You have the most fun of the announcements.
Do you want me to go first then?
Yeah.
All right. It's what I was singing about in the intro, everyone. Okay, if you haven't seen Tiana's Bayou Adventure, we have a date. Thank you. There was some drama because apparently Disney posted it, and then it was like, wait, don't post it because we're announcing it tonight on, like, Dancing with the Stars or whatever it was. Because then it was literally, like, 2 hours later, it was like, it's official. But anyways, Friday, June 28th is the official opening day for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. So now we don't have to listen to all the news nuggets where people are like, someone's testing it. It's like, yeah, well, they're going to be testing it until then. So,
Oh, and this just in, Disney has released the preview dates. So the annual pass holder previews will be June 13th, 14th, 16th, 17th, 18th, and 20th. If you don't already have a theme park reservation for those days as a pass holder, I'm sorry to tell you, it's too late. Those went pretty quickly. And among the announcements, Disney also shared that they will be using a virtual queue for the attraction when it opens. And it sounds like the virtual queue for Tron will continue at the same time. So that'll be interesting to see. Also, this attraction, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, will be included within Genie Plus. So if you pay for Genie Plus for the day, this will be one of the attractions that you'll be able to choose from. I would imagine it's going to go quickly throughout the day, but it will be included in just the regular Genie Plus. In other words, it won't be an individual lightning lane for it. It's part of the Genie Plus.
Yeah, we're excited. I'm glad that we have a date for that. I feel like that was a pretty quick turnaround.
This ride transformation is pretty quick for Disney standards.
It was pretty quick.
Yeah, because Splash closed in January, I think, of 2023. 2023, and now we're in June of 2024. A year and a half is actually pretty quick.
Gosh, has it really been that long?
Yeah.
That feels weird. I feel like it has not been that long at all.
Mm.
But yeah, I guess that is pretty quick for their standards for how much they've... I don't know. I'm just really excited to see it and see how much has changed from the original. So I want to know, like, what's new? What did they probably repurpose? Mm. All of the things. But I'm excited. So... mark it on your calendars.
Remember when we were talking about that Instagram post of the different critters and we were trying to decipher the license plate that had dates? Those yes. numbers did not line up to the opening date. Because if you remember, it was 52872. And the theory was that the previews would start on May 28th and it would open on July 2nd. That is it was an incorrect theory that we were chasing down.
But it is June 28th.
Yes. So the 28th was right.
I mean, I'm wondering if they originally were thinking May 28th and then it turned into June 28th.
I don't know. It does kind of explain why some other calendars have lined up the way that they have. I think they knew it was going to be June 28th for a while.
Yeah.
I have two nugs that I'd like to drop right in your mouth if I can.
Juicy. Do they have sauce on them?
No. One is that the new Disney Vacation Club building at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort has a name, has an opening date, has some theming announced, has the room accommodations announced, all kinds of stuff. So you may have seen that there is a tower under construction within the property lines of the Polynesian right next to the wedding pavilion at the Grand Floridian. It has a name. It is the Island Tower at Disney's Polynesian Villas and Bungalows. And it is set to open in December of 2024. It will be 10 stories tall. Well, I guess it already is 10 stories tall.
Yeah.
It's not open yet. So this is an entirely Disney Vacation Club building, which I feel like I need to reiterate. Doesn't mean you need to be a Disney Vacation Club member to stay there. You will still see these rooms pop up on the normal Disney booking websites. Or if you work with a travel agent, they would be able to get you there too if you wanted to pay cash as opposed to a member using your points.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to feature a mix of rooms. What they call a duo studio. So we talked about this in our Riviera Resort rundown. It's the room that's set to be for a pair of adults and then an infant if you kind of wheel in like a crib. So that's a duo studio, one bedroom villas, two bedroom villas, and a brand new category of room called a penthouse two bedroom villa. Those of you that are members or are really paying attention when we talk about our room accommodations, when we do our resort rundowns, you may notice I didn't mention any deluxe studios. Because the rooms that already exist at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort, the villas there, they're already just all studios.
Deluxe, yeah.
So they don't really need any more over there is what I'm saying. Fun fact, this one's directed to all the haters. The original plans for the Polynesian in the 1970s included a prominent tower. It was never built, but that was the original vision for the resort. If you're wondering why I'm directing that towards the naysayers, is there's a lot of negativity around
this tower.
Because
a lot of people are like... I mean, it was like a bunch of towers in Hawaii, like, or in, you know, Polynesia or whatever. I'm like,
I mean,
whatever.
Maybe. By the way, maybe. I don't live there.
Also, I think it's really cool that it was part of the original plan. To me, it's like, oh, they're actually like, you know, doing some things that they wanted to do in the first place and they just didn't. So.
And now they're doing it. And this version of the tower includes a collaboration of over a dozen artists from around the globe to lock in that Polynesian vibe that they're going for. Some of the design elements that they've announced so far, and you can kind of see in some of the photos that they released, some preserved moss walls, which look cool, and sculptures made from recycled fishing nets, which is interesting. They say this is to showcase the, quote, spirit of conservation and embody the rich cultures of Polynesia.
All right.
They also announced, in relation to conservation, that the resort will use approximately 30% less energy than others of its size due to some efficient lighting they're implementing, optimized heating and cooling systems, and their first, like Walt Disney World's first, all-electric kitchen.
Wow.
This is interesting because when I read that, I was like, well, wait a second. How is it using less energy if it's an all-electric kitchen? Because electricity is an energy. But it's much more renewable of a resource because, as you know, Disney has their big, giant solar panel fields that harness enough power to, I think, power 2 theme parks a day, I believe is the statistic. So, like, it's a renewable energy source. So it's an interesting concept. If you're wondering how do you stay in this resort if you're not a DVC member or even if you are, all Disney Vacation Club members will have the first opportunity to book a cash reservation starting June 4th. This is pretty typical of new Disney Vacation Club resorts. Usually you can book a cash reservation before you can book it with your points. That's June 4th. Walt Disney World annual pass holders can book starting June 5th. You can do that by calling. So you have to call like just the regular Disney number. And then everybody can start booking on June 6th on the normal Disney website. Or you can also call, but would highly recommend the website if that's your thing. No prices for the rooms are announced, but you can't book yet anyway, so you probably won't know what the prices are until you go to book.
I'll be waiting for a fun YouTube video to come out so I can see what it looks like. It's exciting. Well, and it'll also be nice to see kind of all of that area cleaned up too.
Yeah.
Just because it's been under construction for a while.
The photos make it look nice. Like the outdoor part looks nice. Like I just think there's a lot. It looks like there's a lot of artwork in there. They didn't say it. They didn't call it out in the article. But if you look at the photo of the lobby, it's doing a lot of stuff. There's references to the four elements in there. They did mention in the article about focusing on the manta ray that is supposed to symbolize freedom, protection, and grace. Like that's supposed to be included in, like prominently included in the design there. And the stuff on the ceiling, I don't know if you saw, if you kind of have to zoom in a little bit. But they're like these kind of leaf looking things that have animals on them. And they say that the animals that are featured there are ones that are meant to have a strong connection to the islands and symbolizes the values that are important to
Polynesians. I'm sure there's like a ton of, there's going to be like a ton of symbolism in pretty much everything that they've like done in and throughout this resort. So, and I also was thinking, like when does this kind of coincide with Moana 2 coming out? And it makes sense. I'm like, no, Moana 2 comes out November 27th. So that's like a Thanksgiving, you know, movie release basically. Yeah. And then the resort will open up. So it'll pretty much be in high demand at that point. I mean, it's already going to be in high demand.
That means that, remember Barbenheimer when the Barbie movie and Oppenheimer came out? So Moana 2 was coming out the same weekend as Wicked. So this is like Wicked? Wiccana?
Wicked. Wiccana.
One other little nug is that the annual pass holder, unrelated to everything we were just talking about, the annual pass holder dining discount increases during the annual pass holder or VI pass holder days. So from May 28th, through June 26th, so 2 days before Tiana's Bayou Adventure opens up. Another reason why I was like, they probably were shooting for the 28th because like their VIP pass holder days are ending just right before that. Anyway, between May 28th and June 26th, if you're here, your annual pass holder dining discount will increase from 10% to 20% at the normal select Disney dining table service locations. And it does apply to food and non-alcoholic beverages. So soda, yes. Yeah. Beer, no.
Beer, no.
So our last park, isn't it kind of sad? We've already done Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios for rating ride queues, and we're finally on Animal Kingdom Park.
It doesn't feel like we've already done all the other ones.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we've done an episode on this, but here we are at Disney's Animal Kingdom Park. We'll be covering some of the attractions in Animal Kingdom next time on part two. We'll talk about Dinosaur, Triceratops Spin, spoiler, that's going to be like a one, Expedition Everest, and Kilimanjaro Safaris, which I'm super excited to talk about, three of the four of those, because there are some interesting cues. But today, we'll be covering Cali River Rapids, It's Tough to Be a Bug While It's Still Here, Avatar Flight of Passage, and the Navi River Journey. And if it's your first time with us doing a rating ride queue episode, first of all, welcome. Highly recommend you go out and find the other park rating ride queue episodes.
You can find that on our website at thatparklifepodcast.com, and you can just search for rating ride queues, and all of our previous episodes on that will pop up.
Yeah, very handy. We are rating these attractions on a scale of 1 to 4 stars, and as always, we post to our Instagram story to have you all vote on how you feel about these queues, and we'll share those results as well. And if you're wondering, what exactly are we considering? What are the factors when we are trying to determine what our scores are, what our pros and cons are we're talking about? Does the line feel like it moves, right? Do you feel like you're just stationary the whole time or you're actually moving?
Yeah.
What's the temperature situation? Covered, uncovered, indoor, outdoor? Are there interactive elements? Are there things to do? Are you entertaining me while I'm on this ride? So those are some of the things we're looking at.
Entertained.
All right. Up first, we've got the Cali River Rapids attraction over there in the Asia section of Animal Kingdom.
Yes. I'll kick us off here. Sure. So we list out pros and cons, and then we kind of do overall ratings, and then we'll talk about voting results. For me, for Collier River Rapids, I was like, this one was kind of an easy, like, womp, womp. It is, I feel like it's usually not a long wait. I feel like typically there's not a lot of people doing this because you do get pretty soaked on this ride. So I think it's one of those where if it is a long wait, it's like, oh man, it's either like a really hot day or like a lot of other things are closed and people just, you know, need something else to do. But I feel like the line kind of moves steadily just because of the way that the ride moves, like how they load and like unload. I feel like the theming is okay in this. There's nothing really to write home about. I mean, it's Animal Kingdom in general. I think you'll see we're going to talk about this, or at least I am, for each of these rides. It's like there's a ton of vegetation. So every line queue just has a ton of vegetation going on, I think just because of the nature of the park. So a lot of it's in the sun, but I feel like the line queue is not super long for this one. There's some like cool statues and artifacts to look at. There is kind of like this building in the middle of it that you can look at some things in there. But overall, I'm like, it's nothing really special, this line queue, to me. There's really nothing to do. Like cons, I'm like, it's pretty much all outside, so it's going to be hot. I guess they want you to get really hot before you get soaking wet in the water there. But so there's no like, you know, cooling temperatures or anything like that. And I mean, there's some music. I don't know. There's just really not much going on for this ride queue.
Some of my pros, a large section of the queue is covered. Not all of it, but a large section of it is covered. So at least you're not in direct sunlight for the entire time. I'm calling that a pro because it could be all entirely outside.
Yeah.
You mentioned that there are some artifacts and statues and things to look at. And although I don't think it's super obvious what they all are or what they mean, it sure is themed. When you're in that middle part, what is essentially referred to as the Tiger Temple of Anandapur, I had to look that up. The Tiger Temple of Anandapur, which was repurposed as a base camp for the Cali River Rapids Expeditions Company. That's like the storyline of the resort. If you're wondering, the goal of the Cali River or the Cali Rapids Expedition was to raise money with these expeditions to help combat deforestation. So they were raising money to then put it back to protect the lands, which you see in the attraction burning down. There are a bunch of cool rooms in that middle part, that covered section. That the one I think that stands out and is like, I think, cool to look at is that one room that has the colorful chandelier in the middle, and then the ceiling is covered in just a bunch of artwork. And then as you continue to look up, it's got these nice big four birds at the highest point of the ceiling. Like, there's quite a bit to look at. I mean, please pay attention when you're walking. But if you can look up, try to look up in that room, because there's a lot going on. There's a bunch of signs throughout the queue, too. There are little nods to the story and to what the space is supposed to be. There's a sign in there that says, quote, "Please wait, I'll be back from the temple soon." But it's like, who is that and who's visiting? I don't know. Another sign that says special price for tourists. So again, the idea that this was meant to be an expedition company where people would pay to do things. And then there's one room where I think it's close to the exit of the building part, or like the covered part, that has the rafts like floating in the water, and it tells you the names of the rafts. So of course you're going to be on one of them. So it's a little bit of a foreshadow. So there's like a couple of things to look at while you're in there. I do think it has pretty distinct background music, and if you're wondering what that sounds like, well, it sounds a little bit like this. I think it's real interesting that they have,
what is that, a sitar?
Bird sounds in there, because there are real live birds in the queue. There's that one section that is kind of like a, almost like it looks like a part of a zoo, basically. But there are real live birds in there. So you get a little bit of nature along with your vegetation in there.
It
so
is like, relaxing. I mean,
it feels alive,
it's like
in
just,
there.
You know, try to relax and you feel like you should be like about to get a massage or something.
Yes. Well, you're going to get a massage with water.
That's true. In your face.
As far as the ride capacity goes, the theoretical capacity, which means like, you know, while everything is cooperating, is around 1,800 guests per hour. And I'm putting that in the pros section because that's pretty good.
That's good.
My go-to example in my head is, okay, well, what is it compared to Pirates of the Caribbean? Because that is a machine. That is a great example. It's not the only one, but it's a great example of a really efficient attraction.
Yeah.
And as a reminder, because it's been a while since we've done the Magic Kingdom episode, Pirates can do between 2,400 and 2,600 guests an hour. So yeah. 1,800 is not bad. You'll hear some other attractions that are going to be lower than that at this park. So this is pretty decent turnaround for guests.
Yeah.
So those are my pros. I got some cons, and you touched on some of them. There's zero air conditioning. The first part of the line queue has no cover at all. There are some trees in the area, but they don't really do the trick.
You might need to pull a leaf down from the side and shade yourself with it.
And if maybe it rained, you
could use the vegetation.
Yeah, right. It's there for a reason. It's really immersive if you think about it. And then after you're leaving the covered part, you go back out into the direct sunlight to get into the loading dock area, which is just one more blast of heat.
All out the sun, pretty before. Much.
Yeah, and then you're in the sun the whole time. I know that it's not always hot every single month of the year, but 8 out of the months of the year, it's very hot. And this is a con. Yes, there's a lot to look at. But I just don't know who's really super interested or entertained by these things, which is unfortunate that we're not maybe as cultured as we should be. But I would say I don't know. I don't have kids, but I would imagine kids are not super interested in the things that I listed in the pro section, because it is something to look at. But I don't think it's universally appealing, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. People aren't going through that ride queue
just for the
cool stuff. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's just a small bonus.
There are other rides where it's you could go through and just look at the queue and then you don't have to ride the ride if you don't want to, kind of thing. I think something to remember too about Animal Kingdom is because of the vegetation, because of the atmosphere there, it's going to be hotter. It's usually hotter over there. There's just so much more humidity because of all the vegetation and stuff. You're around a bunch of plants. It could be shady or whatever in areas, but you're just around a lot of, it's just the only word I can think of is vegetation. You know what I mean? It's you're just, that's just the nature of why it's so hot over there. It kind of has to be in order for everything to survive, I guess. But
last con is just, other than the animal sightings, there really isn't anything interactive here. Like you mentioned, you're just kind of walking through.
You're like, oh, a bird. Cool. All right, let's move on. What does this poster mean? I don't know. Can't tell you. Maybe Google it. All right. You ready for my overall rating?
Yes.
Okay. I'm giving it a 2.
Oh, I gave it a 2 as well.
Sweet. Okay.
So to the polls we go.
To the polls.
Our number one most voted rating, same scale out of 1 to 4 stars from those of you that voted via our Instagram at the Park Life Podcast. 40% gave it a 2 rating. So 40% were with us. 33%, the other large chunk of votes, went to 3 stars.
Really?
That means 73% would put this between a 2 and a 3 star queue.
I thought more people would give it a 1.
16% with 1. One star.
I want to know what these people that gave it a 3, what their thoughts are.
You know what I say? Good for you. I hope you enjoy your
time
on that attraction.
You can be optimistic because I'm not. Anyway. All right. So our next one up is It's Tough to Be a Bug. Remind me what it's going to be. I was like, why can't I remember what it's going to turn into?
They haven't given a name, but it will feature Zootopia characters.
Zootopia, that's what it is. Okay. Which, by the way, Doug and I watched some videos on the Zootopia land. Dude.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Easter eggs and details. I mean, you could spend, it seems like, an entire day just looking at all of the little things over there. It looks incredible.
It does look incredible.
Back to our regularly scheduled program.
And if you that was not an American park that Beth is talking about. Okay. I'll give you my pros of It's Tough to Be a Bug. And if you don't know, this is the show inside the Tree of Life Theater, the icon of the park. Pros, I think the outdoor part is really lush and beautiful. There's a lot to take in. There's a lot of good nature, vegetation, if you will. And I think it offers some really cool views of the Tree of Life. So as you're walking in this part of the queue, you get to go up pretty close and get a lot of kind of unique vantage points of the Tree of Life. And you start to get to that point where you're walking through the kind of big rocks / roots of the tree. Mm-hmm. And you get to see the carvings that either resemble the carvings that you see in the tree or are actual noticeable carvings of animals.
Right.
You may know the Tree of Life is full of over 300 carvings of animals. So when you're standing down there, I really feel like you might be wrapped up in the roots of a big giant tree. If I were a kid, I would think wow, I'm really walking in and around the roots of this big giant tree. I think that's a really well done component of this queue. Once you're inside, it's dark and it's cool. Remind you of anyone? I just think it's so nice in there, right? The reason why I point out that it's dark is there's something to be said for a room being dark to like relax you a little bit.
Yeah.
And obviously it's inside, so you got the air conditioning going on in there. I hope that you all have an opportunity to see the posters that are around, because there are indoor and outdoor posters. I feel like the indoor ones get most of the attention, at least in my family, but the outdoor ones are cool too. But the ones that you'll see inside are spoofs of musicals. You'll see Auntie instead of Annie, Beauty and the Bees, a cockroach line instead of a chorus line, or Web Side Story. However, the ones that are outside, depending on if that part of the queue is open, the ones that are outside are more introductions to some of the acts that you'll see in the show. Like Claire de Room is one of the as one of the acts, one of the characters you'll meet. But what I like about it is on the poster it says like Claire de Room. This is a stink. It's a stink bug, right? But then it'll give you like a one-liner from someone who's reviewing the show. And underneath Claire de Room, it says, quote, her performance is a real gas. And on these posters, they'll give the quote and then they'll attribute it. They'll say who said it. So the person in this storyline who said her performance is a real gas is by Wilton Flowers. Wink, wink.
Cute.
From the, get ready, from the Orlando Sentinel. So the real publication is Orlando Sentinel, but this is Orlando. And then the scent in Sentinel is like smell, S-C-E-N-T. They feature a poster for the Termite-ator, someone that you also meet in the show.
Is so good.
The quote about him is, he's armed and ready for action. And the person who said that quote is Tim Burr. Tim Burr, because it's a tree. And his publication is the Hollywood Reporter. Guys, this is genius.
Okay. I know. It's like dad jokes. Like
it's the best.
Dad puns. Dad puns. Galore.
Galore. Here's the last one. There's a poster for Weevil Knievel, and it's the aerobatic acorn weevil, which is a type of insect. And the quote underneath him is, you'll go nuts over this act. And this is from Mighty Oak. That's the person's name.
Mighty Oak
from the Acorn Street Journal.
Oh my gosh.
And in this, once you're outside and you're looking at those posters and now you're inside and potentially kind of walking around, getting your bug eyes ready to be put on, and you're looking at these spoofs of the musicals, you'll hear some really, I'm gonna play you two clips here. In order, I'll describe them as immersive and then annoying. So here's some clips of some things you might hear while you're in the queue for Tough to Be a Bug. Okay, just some ambient bug noises, right?
Yeah.
And then it takes a turn depending on how long you might be waiting in this part of the queue. It's like a bunch of goats singing.
But I feel like don't they sometimes play like some of the songs from the fake musicals?
They do, yeah. They do also play some of the songs.
I feel like that was like my favorite part was like, wait, what are they playing? Like, what is this from?
Yeah.
So.
And for ride capacity, big pro here, 2,000 guests per hour. That's pretty high, right? So we're more than Cali River Rapids, less than Pirates. But as far as theater shows go, that's pretty good. 2,000 guests per hour.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
What are your pros?
Pretty much everything you have already said. The other pro is like, because the ride capacity is so large, like you're pretty much always just going to walk right inside. There's usually not like a long wait for a Tough to Be a Bug, I guess. I've never been like stuck in the line queue, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like maybe waiting one show cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like all of those, my favorite thing is just listening to the songs being played and then checking out the posters. Cause the posters are like leaves. They're like on big leaves.
Yeah.
They're not like a normal poster. It's like a big leaf. So really like my only con that I was like, I mean, I guess if I had to say was like, you're standing up the whole time before you go into the thing to sit down. But that's like any ride really.
Yeah.
I mean, at least when you go into, I was trying to compare it to the Muppets 3D, because I'm like, well, at least when you go in there, it's like carpet. You could sit down if you want to. in that big room.
Yes.
But usually it's like there's like concrete and stuff, so you don't really want to sit down on there. And there's not a lot of things to like lean up against while you're waiting. Did you have any cons for this one?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
In addition to the things I liked about it, there are a few things that I think are areas of opportunity for this attraction.
Yeah.
There really isn't much going on, right? There's no real interactivity. There's some stuff to look at, but there's nothing interactive. Yeah. And there is quite a bit of outdoor walking before getting into the air conditioning were my two kind of smaller cons.
Yeah. But I'm also like, maybe they just don't want to overwhelm you because the show itself is pretty interactive.
It's intense.
So it's sort of like, maybe they don't want to kind of overdo it before you actually get in there because then you're like way overstimulated. And I don't mind the walk just because it is like, there's so much to look at, but it is kind of a long walk. You're right. Mm. With that, you're kind of like, where is this thing? before you get in there. So, all right. Are we ready for overall ratings?
Yeah.
All right. I'm giving it a whopping 3.5.
Oh, yeah. I gave it a 2.
A 2?
Yes.
See, I like it because I'm like, it's just enough for me. You know what I'm saying? It's just enough.
Well, that's the point of this, right? We all have our opinions and pros and cons and stuff.
I definitely went higher on this one.
38% of voters rated the It's Tough to Be a Bug queue with 3 stars. So it looks like they're right on track with you. The next highest vote was for 32% with 2 stars, which means a total of 70% are between 2 and 3 stars. So pretty much the same rating as the Cali River Rapids. It seems like it's pretty much on track with that.
Yeah. Just different reasons
for
it. But yeah, I'm interested once they like switch it over, they're going to change any of that stuff. So
yeah.
We shall see. All right. Moving on to Avatar Flight of Passage.
I think we had a stretch before this one because this is a queue, man.
There's a lot. I'm going to give you my notes because I bet you have way more than me. Let's go through the pros. The first one that I have here is the theming is just incredible. Mm. You really are transformed like into this like jungle of Pandora, basically. And even once you're inside, you feel like you're in the set of a movie. Like I just think the theming here is super great. There's so much to look at and unpack here. There's tons of like Navi culture things along the way. Even when you get into the lab to walk through, there's just so much to look at there. Mm. And I'm sure you probably have more details about this, but, to me, I'm going to use my favorite word this episode, vegetation.
Oh, there it is.
The vegetation, the lighting fixtures, the floating waterfalls. Like, there's so much to look at. I love, like, the sound of the waterfall and then just seeing all of the plants and stuff. Like, if you're a plant person, if you love plants like I do, it's just super cool because half the stuff you're like, is that a real thing or is that something that they made up for Pandora? Like, some things you know are made up, but some things you're like, wait, is that real or not? Just because of how much stuff they've, like, brought in and planted for this. And just how like immersive the whole area is. Because even when you're walking through the line queue to get up to it, you're like, you just feel like you're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So for me, I just feel like all of that is absolutely incredible and like unmatched. Something else that I think is really cool that I wanted to point out is like even once you get inside into like the, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like the lab area where they have all of that stuff. The big blue avatar in the tube is like the super cool thing to me. That's probably the coolest part of the line queue because you're like, oh my gosh, like this is what it looks like in the movie. Yeah. Everything looks so cool. There's just so much to look at. So for me, there's cons. We're going to talk about cons, but those are some of the main like overall pros for me. Let's talk about your pros.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I think that there are, a lot of pros related to the immersion for this queue.
Yeah.
So in general, Pandora has its own kind of atmosphere, music and stuff. And the very beginning of this attraction, you're outside. So here are some sounds you might hear when you're in the outdoor portion of Flight of Passage. Music is dramatic. It gets in my head.
I think it's so cool. Inspire you.
Yeah, I get goosebumps sometimes.
But then there's like areas where you're like hearing animals.
Yeah, little critters.
What is that? Yeah, it's like weird animals, and you're like, is that a real animal or is it not a real animal?
Who knows? Or is it my stomach because I'm hungry?
That's true.
I think that that first part of the queue I think offers some really great views of Pandora, and I think that your walk up those beginning paths of the queue, day or night. Honestly, I think it's totally different at night, but day or night, it's just so much to look at. You get to get a little bit closer to the floating mountains. You get to see the rivers and the waterfalls, even the fake one. We all know about the fake waterfall in the queue, right? I'll see if I can dig up an old TikTok I once posted to our account now years ago at this point that points out the fake waterfall. But anyway, once you enter the mountain, I really feel like you're transported somewhere else. In the storyline, you're entering a former mining camp building. Mm-hmm. And in the storyline, part of the deal that the Pandora Conservation Initiative has is that the people from Earth can visit Pandora only if they undo some of the damage that happened previous to this visit. The whole big storyline is explained in the attraction. Mm-hmm. So rather than build a new facility, humans from Earth have reused already existing ones, and that's what you're walking through in the queue. And the first of which is that mining camp building that you walk into, and it's also connected to a building that has some laboratories in it, which is the lab that you're referencing. Mm-hmm. It was already there, so, quote, we are repurposing it as we're walking around. And like I mentioned, the queue tells the story of Avatar the movie, and I'm listing that as a pro because maybe it's been some time since you've seen the movie. Mm-hmm. The original came out in 2009. I think I've seen it 3 times, and I still don't remember one thing that's happened in it. That's my own thing, though.
Have you ever seen Pocahontas? It's the same movie.
Oh, is it? I think I have movie blindness where I just don't remember. Or movie amnesia, maybe, is a better way to put it. I just don't remember anything about movies. I always have to go rewatch.
And it's a very long movie, too. So.
It's quite long. But I remember loving it.
It's quite long.
Every time I see it, I enjoy it, but I don't remember.
I do like this movie.
It's like every time is the first time. I'm sure there's songs about that. But I really appreciate that throughout the queue, if you're looking for it, you'll see cues to the storyline of the movie and kind of give you an idea of what you're in for in the attraction. So it really highlights the parts that we need to know. You'll see the flying animal that is kind of presented to be important, and it's controlled by the big blue people, the Na'vi. And they do this by showing images of these animals and the Na'vi in paintings in one section, in digital videos on screens, and like painted graphics and murals and props throughout the queue. So in other words, just look around while you're walking in the different sections and see if you can spot the storyline of the movie and then how it relates to this attraction. An interesting thing about this queue is that it starts out wide. I mean, you're outdoors for the first part of it. But if you haven't noticed this in the past, next time you're on it, take a look at this. The queue starts to narrow as you go through it. So one of the reasons is to help you adjust from the bright outside, obviously, to make it easier to see the big old screen. But it also helps create this a feeling of enormity when you're finally flying on the Banshee because you were so used to being in a tight space. Think about the two rooms that you're in before you're in the loading area.
Right.
Where they genetically match you. And then that last one where you see that video from Dr. Ogden, it's like, that's tight quarters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tight that in COVID, you can only fit like 3 people or something like that in the room. And that's just to help out. So now when you're finally, and then you notice when you sit in your vehicle that the screen is right in front of you, like the thing that lifts up is so close. So like you just feel like you're in the small room and then boom, you're in this big expansive universe. Yeah. It's a really cool tactic that they use in the queue. And I think it's a great use of space in the queue. In this queue, you start in the caverns in the mining camp area, and then you go into an old bunker. You go past a crumbling wall, you go through a pipe that goes into a ruined facility that's taken over by a Pandora wildlife. Unique to Pandora, so it's got like that kind of glowing, luminescent style of it when you're inside, which is nice, right? You're almost getting that nighttime vibe, but it's at any time of the day when you're inside. And then ultimately into a research lab, and there's a lot of stuff. Like you mentioned, there's a lot to unpack, to take in. There's this little containers that have like little amoeba looking things in it that are just kind of like darting around, and you kind of just stand there and watch it. Like, what am I even looking at?
Yeah. It's like, what is this?
There's like, I don't even know what it looks like, but it reminds me of that. What was that toy where you had the pen that was essentially a magnet and you dragged around like little pieces of like shredded magnet?
Yes.
That there's like a ball of that shredded magnet stuff that's just like kind of overturning into itself over and over again.
Vibranium.
Something like that. Whatever it is.
I'm trying to remember what it was called. What is
unobtainium is the element that they were searching for here. Vibranium is Black Panther.
Yeah.
and other Marvel movies.
I knew it was an anium.
Yes.
It was something anium.
One of those aniums.
That they were mining for, and that's why we're there.
Yes, that is why we're there, and or what led to the destruction the first time around when they were like aggressively mining for the unobtainium. There's that big observation tube you were talking about. With a Na'vi body in it. There's an embryo scan machine that simulates wind turbulence. I don't even know what that even means at all, but looking
it's
at
like,
it,
sure.
It looks
sure,
cool
Dan.
To me. I remember standing there when I was just there a few months ago. It was the last time I was in this queue, and I was like, you know, I don't know what I'm looking at, but I'm having a good time looking at it, turns out.
It just looks above my head, but it's cool.
And depending on how busy it is, and I know it's busy a lot of the times, but if the part of the queue is open where you get to go through or even see the tank room, the banshee tracking room and stuff, and then, of course, you ultimately wind up at the genetic matching room, which is when the show like actually starts. But the point of mentioning all these things is, just like you said, I think the queue is full of stuff. I mean, there are so many different room changes that I feel like it really does give you the almost like illusion of just constant movement, because there's just something new at every turn to look at and just absorb.
And outside is even cooler at nighttime. So it's like, it's cool in the daytime and it's cool at nighttime.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of another pro there, because everything is like glowing at nighttime over there in Pandora in general. Okay, some cons. Let's talk about some cons.
Yeah.
For me, like, it's a toss up here, because I'm like, we usually rope drop this attraction because we don't want to be waiting in the line, because a lot of the times the line can get really, really long.
Still.
And it does feel like you're walking almost 2 miles by the time you get into the line queue, and then you get up to like where the actual line is. So, and you're climbing. You're pretty much climbing the whole time. Mm-hmm. You're walking up. So that's kind of a con there. And if it's the daytime and you're stuck in that line queue, you're in the sun outside for the most part. Like, there are some shady spots, but like, you're pretty much out there in the thick of it in the sun. So it can get really hot. I would say the line kind of seems to move when you're like in the regular line queue, but I also feel like once you get in there, it's kind of, to me, it reminded me of Soarin', where it's like, once you get up to like where you get into like the tubes to like wait to get into the pre-show things, it feels like you're standing there forever
it
for
does
some reason.
Slow down. Yep.
And then when you get there, especially if like one of them's not working, you're like, oh God, this is like legit going to take forever. Because I mean, it's a large room, but when one of the things isn't working, like that's a huge like number of people that can't move in there. So to me, those were kind of some of the cons. For me personally, I get motion sickness, so I always have to ask them if I can sit in the middle of the screen, which you may be on the end of like where your actual room is. You may not be in the middle of like your room, but they're putting you in the middle of the screen. Because I don't like to be on the edges, because it's kind of like Soarin', where if you're on the edges, the thing can be curved.
Yep.
So that's kind of a con. It's like, well, if you've waited for so long and then you have no idea and you end up on the edge, it can kind of get like, you might be get a little motion sickness like I do. Or it's just like curved and you're like, why is it curved over here? It looks weird. So let me see what else I put in here. Yeah, I think those are all the like cons that I have for that.
All right.
What other cons do you have?
The first part of the queue was outdoors.
Yeah.
So be ready. And you're just like you mentioned, you're climbing up a bit. It's so much so, actually. Miley Cyrus wrote a song about it.
It's the climb. And it's not bad if you do it first thing in the morning, because it is like a little bit cooler, but it is humid. Like, remind you, we're in Animal Kingdom. It's humid everywhere. But at least when you get to like the air conditioned part on the inside, you get to kind of cool down. But man, it can get real hot if you're waiting out there in the summertime.
And even at rope drop, that line gets long quick. The average like wait time, generally speaking, is still floating around 90 minutes. But if you're there during the busier seasons or weekends, it's still over 2 hours. This morning, I just was curious, and I hopped on a few times throughout the morning, and it was between 90 and 120 minutes.
Oof, man.
Every time that I looked.
Yeah.
The ride capacity here is not great.
It's
1,600 guests per hour. So that's less than Kali River Rapids, less than It's Tough to Be a Bug. It's not a lot. It's just not a lot of turnover of guests. So it's a slow load, if you will. And a common complaint among guests that I've heard is a lack of a nearby restroom for such a what was obviously anticipated to be a long wait time, because they built such a long queue for it. And I know sometimes it's easy to say, well, if you know it's going to be a long wait, go before you get a line. Right. But I think we know it's not all that easy. Sometimes we're dealing with health conditions that just you got to go.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting concept. But I also think, like, I also can't think of any attraction where there's a restroom in the queue. I don't know that there is one. So I'm not really sure where that expectation comes from.
It's probably just harder to, like, get out of the queue. Because I feel like a lot of other rides, it's easier to get out of the queue, go to the bathroom, and then, like, come back and find your people. It's really hard to do that in this queue.
It is difficult to do that here.
So that's maybe one. Another thing that I also listed was, like, you know, sometimes you can get stuck in that pre-show room, like where they're doing all the scans, and it's really awkward.
Yes.
Because you're now stuck in there with a bunch of people you don't know, and it's super quiet, and everyone's like,
close.
What's going on out there?
Yeah.
Because you could be standing there for like 10 minutes, and like, this is awkward. especially if you get a little claustrophobic in there.
I'm ready for your overall rating.
Overall. I'm giving it a 3 overall. Ooh, yeah, a little bit. I couldn't give it a 4 because of all the cons, but I was like, I'll give it a 3.
Well, your boy gave it a 4. I say that in my world, the pros are outweighing the cons of being outside and it being a slow mover.
Yeah.
I just think the inside is gorge, as they say. 62% of voters, 62% rated the Flight of Passage queue with 4 stars.
All right. Okay.
Which is that's a pretty good score as far as these ratings go. Yeah, that is a pretty good score. 28% with a 3-star rating, which means 90% are putting this either a 3 or a 4 star. So this is a good queue, everybody.
Yeah.
Good
queue.
This
is a good queue. Good one.
There were a very small number of people who gave it a 1-star, and I would like, if you did, I'm genuinely curious. You will not hear me attack you. First of all, I don't think I've ever attacked anybody on anything anyone's ever said.
I just thought it's just too long.
I'm just curious to see what it is. I mean, I'm with you on the wait time, but I also like to tell people lines were meant to be waited on. You're not the only person who had the idea of going on that attraction that day. But I'm curious to hear what's 1-star about it.
Yeah. Maybe you should message them personally.
Yeah, I wish. Oh, I can. I won't. I am genuinely curious. So. Okay.
Feel free to reach out.
Our last attraction for the day is the Navi River Journey. Would you like me to go first?
Sure.
Because it won't take long.
It won't.
Some pros of this. We know that Pandora is super themed, and I think that the exterior walking path of this is unlike most other queues. There's just a lot of Pandora-specific things in this outdoor queue, including those like the pathway lamps that I think could look like a seahorse. It could look like an elephant trunk. Like, I think that one, those it kind of freaks me out, but two, I think it's really interesting to look at. Like, I think that's so cool.
I think
small
cool.
things like that make a big difference to me, because it just makes you feel like you're somewhere else, which is the general overall theme of Pandora. I do think that as you're walking in this queue, you do get a nice couple of perspectives of the area of Pandora. You get a side shot of the big waterfall that's in between the Navi River Journey and the Flight of Passage attractions. The covered section is unique. It looks like it might have been built by the Navi, because you'll see there, I call them the Dreamcatcher things. I'm not really brushed up on my Navi, everyone here, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There's different totems and unique light fixtures, and the mural on the ceiling is a map of the attraction, which is interesting. Not the whole thing of it, but at least a part of it is. So to me, those are some cool things to look at.
Yeah.
Those are the ends of my pros.
I said that kind of what you're talking about. I was like, it's sort of like, it's like primal. Like, it's like it's representing like the ancient culture of the Navi.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of like tunnels with like cement structures and bamboo. There's a lot of like bamboo. It's like what they use to kind of build the structures, but it seems very like primal in that area.
Yep.
I think the line moves pretty good here just because of the ride system with the boats. So we pretty much only do this if it's like 20 minutes or less. Mm-hmm. I've never been in that line when it's long. But I feel like when I have been in it, it's usually moved pretty quickly. So, but yeah, I like the theming. Again, lots of vegetation, everyone. Lots of plants to look at, things that you don't know if they're real or not. I think they did a great job over there. But yeah, that's sort of more the storyline over there, is like, oh, this is more diving into the actual culture of the Navi as it is present day versus, you know, what was kind of messed up and is being rebuilt over on the other side.
Totally agree with you there.
Yeah. My cons here are, I mean, it's all outside. Mm. It can be hot if it's in the middle of the day. It does look really cool at nighttime just because, again, all of the things that, like, glow are really cool to look at. And the lighting fixtures are really cool at nighttime just because of how they're all lit up. But, yeah, my main con was, like, it's all outside. It can be hot. I mean, even though it's in a spot where there's not a lot of sun, it just, you know, if it's hot outside, it's just going to be hot in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
What other cons did you have?
Same thing, covered, but hot. It's not, in my opinion, not nearly as themed or immersive or really as interesting as Flight of Passage.
Yeah.
Outside looking in, it almost feels like they had a budget and they blew it on, on Flight of Passage. And they're like, oh, oops, we have to do this other attraction. And I think the interior is beautiful, but the exterior, just there's a lot less here than there is the attraction next door. For ride capacity, 1,200 per hour, which is a big
wow,
because it's the lowest of all the attractions we'll be talking about today, and also in part two. So it's low.
It's
of the
bad.
Eight attractions we're talking about for Animal Kingdom, that's the lowest ride capacity.
Interesting. Not so great. I mean, it just kind of is what it is. The ride is cool.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like the ride cute. And I feel like we've talked about this before too on another episode where we were like talking about rides. We were sort of like, they really did it up for Navi or for the Flight of Passage. And then they got to Navi Room and I was like, oh, we just got to like get this done.
Yeah.
So overall, my rating for this one is a whopping 2. Oh, I'm giving this one a 2.
Same for me.
Yeah.
Overall rating a 2. Over in the polls here, it's pretty close, but 34% of voters rated it a 3-star and 33%, so just 1% less, with a 2-star. So 71%, that's bad math, 67% gave it a 2 to a 3-star rating. So kind of like right there in the middle. The next highest was 4 stars with 20%, which I thought was really interesting.
And I'm like, are you guys thinking about the ride itself? Because the ride itself is probably a 4.
I would give it a,
But the ride queue is, that's what I'm wondering. I'm like, are people, do they know we're just talking about the ride queue, like the actual waiting line? Because it's definitely not a 4 for that one. But to each their own. To each their own.
To each their own.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our part one. Part two, as a reminder, we're going to do dino DNA, Triceratops Spin, Expedition Everest, and Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
We'll go back in time with some Disney history. As always, brought to you by the Mouselets. Make sure you're following them. If nothing else, some great video content coming up from their wedding. A lot of fun stuff happening over there on the Mouselets, mouselets.com, and over on the TikToks.
For her, sure. All right, I'm going to kick us off. I'm taking us back to 2016. 2016 is when Disney stopped selling its beloved currency, Disney dollars.
Oh, rip.
It was first put into circulation in 1987. They printed them in limited quantities. The bills featured some of the Fab Five. Typically, it was Mickey Mouse on the dollar bill, Goofy on the $5 bill, and Minnie Mouse was on the 10. They're no longer available, but apparently you can still use these to purchase. I'm not sure, but it sounds like if you still got some Disney dollars laying around, you can still use them. Don't you still have some of yours?
I do. I won't be using them, but if you take them in, they basically just treat it like a gift card.
Yeah, which is just kind of cool. But 1987 is when they started, and they quit doing it this week in 2016.
Ooh. 8 years ago, wow.
I know.
I'm also going to take us back to 2016, because it was this week when the town center section of Disney Springs opened. So we just did our second in our two-part series of a resort, of a rundown of Disney Springs. Mm-hmm. We, of course, talked all about town center and all of that stuff, but it was now officially 8 years ago. I still think of it as brand new, but 8 years ago, that section opened up. At the time, it was 23 stores and a handful of dining locations, as part of this phase of the redevelopment of Springs, formerly the Walt Disney World Village Marketplace, Downtown Disney, / Pleasure Island, Disney Springs, all kinds of names.
Check out our previous episodes on all of that.
Yeah. I've got a quote, of course, to end this episode as always. However, if you like what you heard today, feel free to like, subscribe, head over to iTunes, leave us a review over there. We do greatly appreciate it. You can follow along on our Instagram for things like we did today, where we poll you all to see how you all feel and kind of compare it to how we feel on things like ride queues. Our Instagram is at That Park Life Podcast. My personal Instagram is at The Disney Greg.
And I am at The Real Beth McDonald.
You can also find Beth on in her alternate ego at Simplistic Thrills. And you can find me over at The Quick Escape Pod. It is my side piece pod I do with
two co-workers. Just
kidding. Yes. Where you can hear a little bit about old Greg. This week we're talking about times we've gotten pulled over in our past.
Great, great.
Scandalo.
Escandalo.
If you'd like a little more of us, we do release bonus episodes through our Patreon. And that's something that we offer on patreon.com/thatparklifepodcast. So ad-free versions of these episodes, bonus content, and a bunch of other fun stuff. Access to a Discord so we can chat. The close friends feature on Instagram.
Get to know
access
us better.
To high-quality videos and photos you can use as wallpapers and Zoom backgrounds. Mm-hmm. We also offer one-on-one trip planning, potentially a subscription box, all kinds of fun stuff over on our Patreon. We have a Amazon storefront. If you want to see what we bring to the park, we made it easy for you. We made a list. We are Amazon affiliates, so we got a little something there, but it is your normal Amazon account you're able to use. I have a list of things that I bring to the park, as well as stuff I use for running, and Beth has a list of things that she brings to the parks when she's traveling around town here. Okay, a quote for y'all today comes from, you guessed it, the movie Avatar.
Ah.
Figured, why not? Here we are talking about Avatar.
Is it Awela, Awela?
It is not the song of the shaman. For the 2009 theatrical Academy Award-winning feature film, Avatar.
Yeah. Avatar?
In that movie, you'll hear the following quote, which is, quote, "All energy is only borrowed, and one day you have to give it back." All right, everyone. That's all for us this week. We'll see you next week.
Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Bye.